Daniel.
Hello, Kevin. Can you see me now?
Yes, sir, I can.
All right, so you got a picture-perfect video going there.
Good, I can see it. Good. It looks great.
All right, Kevin, welcome to the program.
I've been listening to you. I like where you're going with your show. It's beautiful sounding. I like what you're trying to approach with the whole fear element, because there really is nothing to be afraid of. I've been dead twice. I've met our Lord in death, and believe me, he's got a handle on the whole thing that we're going through in this world. And he's wonderful to meet, I want you to know. It's a delight to meet.
Wow. That's a profound statement in and of itself, Kevin. Welcome to the program, and thanks for the compliment there. And I did intentionally, I don't know if you've seen my ranty points before, but really it's pretty bold, in-your-face kind of talking of today's events, and I thought... You know, all day I was mulling this over. You know what? I'm not going to add to that tonight. And it really fits perfectly with you coming on the program. So, welcome to the show. We're going to be talking about the master key of unlocking chronic disease. But Kevin, let's start from the beginning. I need you to introduce yourself to the folks so they know who you are.
Well, my background is in the arts and sciences. I'm a California State Scholar. I've been through four grade schools. I went to Notre Dame High School in Sherman Oaks, which is a college prep school back in the 1970s. Earned a California State Scholarship and then went to Loyola University to do my undergraduate work. I wanted to do my graduate work in medicine and computer science, and our Lord led me down a path that did that anyway, in spite of the fact I didn't get to do the formal work. And my new book, The Master's Key to Unlocking and Mastering Chronic Disease, makes for a heck of a thesis for everybody to read. He allowed me to come back in the second death encounter I had at age 44 to finish the work. I didn't have to come back, but he left it up to me to complete this. And I knew that none of you would figure out the science behind all of this. So I decided to come back. And we're going to. I'm going to talk about that. I don't know if we'll have enough time to talk about both death encounters that I had, because they're pretty involved. And what I learned about the universe and about our planet would take more than I think the time we have to talk today to reveal to your audience the things I'm sure they would love to learn from me, mm-hmm. having been dead and coming back to do the work that I'm here to do.
So, are you saying when you were dead, it was sort of given to you, information was given to you about the meaning of life or chronic diseases or knowledge in general?
What happened, do you want me to tell a little bit about the first death encounter, the experience I had as
yeah,
I went
that'd
into
be a,
it?
That'd be a great starting point. Go ahead.
Okay. So first answer your question, yes, I came back with increased knowledge because in my particular case, I had been on two other worlds prior to coming here. The harvest field of our Lord is a mix of young and old souls, you'll learn, when you go into the light. I don't go against the Bible or the true gospel of Jesus Christ, but the eschatology of all of that information applies only to this world. What the rest of the universe is about is far different from anything that we're experiencing here on this planet. In other words, the universe doesn't revolve around the Earth. We're just one speck in the whole scheme of things. And the way the whole thing really works is amazing when you go into the light and learn how it works. What got me there in the experience was one night I came in to the apartment where I was living. I was living with a friend of mine, Kevin L. Norwood, who was working for the American Song Festival back then. We were sharing the costs. Because both of us loved music, and we were trying to make it in the music business. That's my background in the arts, as well as the sciences. And what happened one night is I came in with a really severe pain in my left side, and it didn't go away. And he was at a party that night, and I called him and told him I was in trouble, and he said he'd be there right away. And he came, and at that time, my mother was still alive. And I had an interesting relationship with my mother because she beat me a lot when I was young, which I never deserved. But she had a really good side, too. There were things about her that I needed, especially at that time in my life. So he took me there. She wanted to hospitalize me and took me to some of the doctors she knew. and this was at Hollywood Presbyterian Hospital. The doctors came in, talked with me, and decided to schedule me for a pyelogram cystoscope study the next morning. And they gave me medication to try to ease the pain. And at 6 o'clock the next morning, they wheeled me into an operating room, and they were getting me ready. And right before they put me on the main table, I said a silent prayer to our Lord. And I said, Jesus, I know I'm not where I really want to be in my life. And I know this something's wrong with the whole plan of my life. And if you don't mind, I'd like to see you and talk to you when they put me under. And I didn't know what was going to happen, if I was going to get the request answered or not. So they put me on the main table. And over me was this anesthesiologist, young guy, and he's kind of upside down from the way I'm, you know, looking at him. And he says to me, Kevin, we're going to hit you with sodium pentothal, and we're going to bring you about this close to death. But don't worry, we're going to be here watching over you. And he asked me if I was scared. I said, no, it's all right. Go ahead. You know, do what you got to do. Let's see if we can find out what the pain is. And he said, okay, I want you to count back from 100 and go as far as you can. He says, I'll bet you won't make it to 90. And he was right, because I got down to about the number 94 and 93 while I was counting. And Daniel, all of a sudden, you know, the big lights they have over the operating table, those exploded into light all around me. And suddenly I found myself standing in this place where there was nothing but light. Now, this is real. This is no dream. This isn't the sodium pentothal. I had left my body and I had been transported into another place. And it was a wonderful place to be, because the first thing you feel is incredible love. There's this euphoria that's better than any drug on the face of the planet. And you just feel great being in this place. And where I was standing, I was looking straight up into the light, and I was looking deep into the light, and knowledge was pouring into me at a tremendous rate. Every question I had asked on the earth was being answered at blinding speed. And I looked at the light and saw blue streaks moving through the light, and from peak to peak was maybe 100 light years in difference. When you could measure it. And the light was answering all these questions. Whatever question I had, the light was transmitting the information. One of the things I asked the light, I said, you know, in the Bible it says that a day in 1,000 years is one and the same. And I'd like to know how that feels to you. And suddenly the light imparted the feeling to me of what it feels, the difference between it. And if I could put it in terms all of you could understand, if you could be standing and step forward about a quarter of an inch with your feet, that is the difference in perspective the light has to what a day in 1,000 years is. They're almost unmeasurable. It's nothing to the light. And then suddenly, while I was asking this question to a few others, because I was still a little disoriented on the experience I was having, suddenly everything just came together in my mind. Because what happened was, one of the passages from the Bible where Jesus said, when you do this to the least of my brethren, you do it also to me. Suddenly I went, oh, I should have seen what he was saying. He is the whole thing. So when you're in the light, you're really in the presence of the Lord in his fullness of what he is as the being that became everything. But he couldn't quite communicate this to us in the Bible direct, but it is there in the book. And I have a video on my YouTube channel called Beyond Life, There is the Light, where I teach for an hour from the Bible the location of the universe. And I hope everyone will go and listen to that video, because they're going to get quite a teaching from their book that they never knew was hiding there, that will vindicate all these people who are having these NDE experiences. So suddenly I realized, I get it. He is the whole thing. And then as I did that, I turned around over to my left, and I noticed the portal where I had entered through into the light. And it was this huge portal about the size of a semi-truck. And it had a misty edge going around it. And I tried to render it on my computer, and I used it as a logo on one of my YouTube channels so you can see what I saw. And there was the earth. There was all of you guys I was watching from the light, with the sun shining on it. So then I turned back around, and all of a sudden another opening appears, a circular opening made of a darker bluish light, and it parts open like a drape. And the one who steps out of it, and I don't know why I did that, I did the drape part. But the one who steps out of it is the one that we call Jesus on this earth. And he was wearing like a caftan with a gold band going around it. I don't know how else to describe what he was wearing. And he starts to approach me, and his head is like this blazing ball of light. And out of his torso are blasting whole planets going, and they're being formed out of him going into the universe. And old ones are coming back from the universe back into him. And when the ones that were being formed happened, it was deafening, the sound. It was like lightning, thunder, smoke. I mean, it was awesome to watch. And I was totally blown away by what I was watching. But he looked at me like, do you get it? I am your source. I am the creation. I am the creator. This is where the Alpha and the Omega part comes in that John the Apostle was trying to explain. I'm using a Christian approach because I want our Christian community to understand there's more to the book that they don't see, and I'm trying to bring a part of it in to help them to better understand our Lord's book, because he's very hurt by the way he's being treated by the world and even by the Christian community, and who he is and what he did when he came to the cross to try to bring us back to the light, when he did do the sacrifice that he did. So anyway, he gives me this smile going, great, you got it. You got it, kid. I am the creation. I am the creator. I am your source. You can't do anything without me. And then he starts to walk over to my right, and he's, you know, parallel with the opening behind me. And all of a sudden, he starts this light razor coming out of his face, and he's scanning me from top to bottom, and then he lands right in the center of my chest and sends a blast of light right into my chest where all the heartache was that I had received on the earth. And the light went right into my chest. My spiritual being took the pain away and kept right on going. And boy, did I feel relieved when I felt I had perfect peace. It was an incredible experience. And then while he's looking at me, he forms this bluish silvery lit ribbon that appears over to his right side. And it's got a slit going down it, and the ends are open. And when he does that, the knowledge was pouring into me that in my particular case, and this is not true of everyone on this planet, but in my particular case, I had been on two other worlds, and this was one of many incarnations, and I was sent here to help this planet out. There are those of us who are here who are older souls, and we're here trying to help this world so it doesn't destroy itself, to bring grace and love into the planet. And that's where the Master's Key comes in, with the science that I bring into this world to help the sick and the dying find the answers that they need. So he shows me that. And then he expands the slits in the ribbon through the course of the ribbon. They start to expand out, and suddenly knowledge that I had before I was born was being restored to me. And when he did that, he said, I can't go any further because unless, you know, you want to come home. Because if I do that, you're not going to be able to withstand going back to the earth. It's going to be too hard for you to handle the pain of what the earth is. I said, no, let's stop right there, because I was starting to receive images from the light concerning my parents and my brother, who were teeter-tottering between heaven and hell, and that was about to be confirmed. So while that happened, the other beings started to come out of the light. It looked like men dressed in similar garments that he was wearing, and the light started to take on a bluer tinge to it, so the definition of their coming out could be seen by me. And they start to have a talk with each other. And remember, I want you to understand, everything's being done telepathically, because it's easier to communicate mind to mind, both images and thoughts and words, telepathically than the mouths that we use in these bodies that we're in. So while they're doing their powwow, having their talk, I didn't have anything to do, so I turned over to my left to talk to the light, and suddenly the light forms these two planets, which are three-dimensional, huge, and magnificent to look at, and the light is imparting its talk with me, saying, these are the two other worlds you were on before you came to the earth. We needed you here because of your advanced knowledge, because you're going to do something that the world desperately needs. And this is the book that I've written, The Master's Key. Mm-hmm. And when I was about to ask the light more questions about all of that, but suddenly Jesus broke from his talk, and he looks at me with a big smile now on his face, And he says, come on home. You know, he waves his arm and says, come on home. So I figured, okay, they've made their decision, what they want to do. I knew my life had not gone where it was supposed to go, and he wanted to come with him. So he puts his arm around me, and we start to walk into another opening that opens up, and I'm looking at heaven, which is incredible to see. And he's walking quietly with me, with his right arm around me, and it's hard to look at his face because it's nothing but light. You can see his face to a point, but he's so brilliant in his thoughts. It manifests in the light in this way. We start to walk towards the new opening, and suddenly I look up like this to my right into the light, and the light is imparting knowledge about my parents and my brother, showing me that they're teeter-tottering between heaven and hell in this world. And suddenly our Lord stops and gets in front of me and looks at me and says, what's troubling you? And I told him what I had seen. And then he looks and he says, okay, then you need to go back to be sure they're going to be okay. So with that said, we postponed my departure to heaven. And I think they lost me on the operating table for a little bit, and I'll tell you why. But anyway, I left his presence, and he held his arms up like this. And he said, if you need me for any reason, I wait in earnest to hear from you and to eagerly help. And I want everyone who hears my voice to understand he's saying that to all of you, as well as to me. He's more than capable of handling all of our problems and troubles if we would just turn to him. So I fell through the infamous tunnel that NDEs talk about, with him fading into the background as he says and imparts these words to me. And then I enter back into the universe, which is outstanding to see because you can see all the planets and the suns. And I don't have to worry about breathing or anything because I don't have a corporal body. And then I move at blinding speed back to the earth. I knew exactly where to go, where to find the hospital. And I come into the hospital building and land on the gurney with a thud on my left side, and realized my body was lying back flat. So I levitated my body up and lowered it gently back into my body to line myself up with my body. And the first thing I heard was the heart and the blood moving through all the blood vessels, but I couldn't see anything. And I tried to open my eyes, and I still couldn't see anything. So it took about a full minute being blind, and then suddenly I heard this loud buzzing noise in my ears while my eyes digitized literally from the outside going in, and then I could see. And I started to feel my face and felt the oxygen mask. I pulled that off, and then I looked over at the room, and I looked at the clock over on the left. And for a moment, I couldn't really remember anything or what anything did. I felt like a baby in this experience. And then suddenly, all of a sudden, my brain was accessible, and all the knowledge and information stored in it started to come into play. And I looked at the clock. I went, oh, okay, I get it. That's a clock measuring linear time. And the interesting thing about the clock was, when that experience happened, the clock was at exactly 2:57 in the afternoon, which is the exact time I was born. And that to me signified I was going through some kind of new birth. I was ascending in my understanding and knowledge, and our Lord wanted to make it clear I was not going to be the same after this experience. So I turned over on my left, this time in my body, and this gal comes in with her mask on. I don't know if she was a nurse or a doctor. And she looks at me and says, Mr. Montague, so glad you are with us. You know, she talks like this. She's Oriental, Asian. And I looked at her and I said, how long was I out? And she said, oh, you're out about 3 hours, Mr. Montague. And she's looking at my eyes and she says, and I think you have about another 30 minutes with us. She talks like this. So I realized, okay, the eyes must be dilating. I'm not fully there with this body yet. And I figure I'm going to go to sleep, you know, because I was drowsy from the sodium pentothal. And I start to lean back on the gurney. All of a sudden, I hear a voice, and this one is audible, and it's loud, and it's deafening, too. And it says, Montague, it talks like this, don't go to sleep. Think about what you just experienced. And I went, whoa, you know, I'm 25 years old. And I shot up in the gurney, pulling the mask off, and I went, whoa, what was that all about? But I realized what they were trying to say was, don't brush this off. You've had a powerful experience, and we want you to think about what you've just experienced. So with that said, I saw the tiles across the way on the wall, and they all started to disappear. But I thought, oh my God, I'm hallucinating. What's going on? And all of a sudden, this golden stairway appears made of transparent gold, just like what John the Apostle tried to describe in his documents that are in the Bible. And all of a sudden, this golden light comes down the stairs and comes into the recovery room and just touches everyone with this light. And it's blinding. I can't see anything but this light. And then it retreats and goes back up the stairs. And then the tiles reassemble and they fill back in. And I thought, what in the world was that about? I finally have figured all of this out, but I won't probably have time to really communicate it all because I want to get the experiences across. And with that said, they finally wheeled me back into my room. And that's where I continued the recovery for the procedure they did. Now, there's a second part to this, but I want to give you time to respond to what I just shared with you. So go ahead if you have any questions.
Well, the questions have been flying in. First of all, how long do you think you were dead?
How long do I think I was dead?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, according to them, I was gone for 3 hours on the operating table. Mm-hmm. I never bothered to ask if they lost me, but based on what the gal said, so glad you're with us, I suspect they did. Because the moment I started to walk with our Lord into heaven, that would have been the time there would have been the disconnect to my soul. Mm-hmm. I mean, from my soul to my body. And I wasn't worried about my body. I could care less. Because we're eternal beings made of light that interface with these bodies that are also made of light. But this body I'm in and the one you're in is a denser form of light than the beings that we are when we interface with it. Mm-hmm. I go into this in the Master's Key and talk about Einstein's equation of E equals mc squared, and I try to better explain what that equation means. Because Albert Einstein discovered that through the Bible codes back in 1948 when he was working all of this stuff out. Mm-hmm. And he never fully understood it, but I do. So, but I think, I probably might have been out the full 3 hours, probably a little bit less. It's hard to judge time mm-hmm. when you have these experiences.
So this, the near-death experience you feel was the vehicle for you to have a revelation of heaven or to go there physically or spiritually?
No, I simply didn't know where my life was going. I felt I was not. See, when I was young, I loved the arts and the sciences. I wanted to be involved in music. I could memorize the most complex melody lines that anyone could play for me. My mother understood I was a prodigy, but she didn't really know what to do with me. They didn't have much support back in the 1960s for people like me. Mm-hmm. And then I always was interested in how things worked. I was always taking stuff apart. Mm-hmm. Every time she went to visit her friend, she said, "We better Kevin proof the place, you know, he's going to take everything apart."
Yeah, I got somebody watching the show saying they were scanned. They had an experience in their life where they were, you mentioned earlier about being scanned. And so I said they were scanned their self, and I would assume by Jesus or God or somebody. It didn't really say. And the other somebody in our live chat said that they died twice. I believe it was Chuck who said that. Then we've got these questions here. Now, Raul out of the live chat says, what did Jesus look like? But you described him a couple times. You said, but let me ask you something. When you talk about time and space, you said Jesus was standing there and his face was illuminated so brightly and planets were going in and out. Well, if planets were going in and out of him, how big do you think he was?
I've always thought about that. Yeah, that's I couldn't even begin to tell you the perspective of that, because there's no way to measure it. You can't go with a ruler and try to, get some kind of measuring. But as a scientist, I thought about that with the way the planets were forming, coming back to him. Mm-hmm. There's a passage in the Book of Revelation in the Bible where you read about how God can expand the throne room to include everyone in it and then retreat it back to its normal size. Mm-hmm. So size is when you leave your body, we have standards in this universe of relative size, but that changes. Mm-hmm. The laws all change when you leave your body. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't begin to tell you.
Let me ask something, Kevin. You said that, was it your parents maybe or your brother teetering between heaven and hell? What do you mean by that?
Or teeter-tottering between heaven and hell is the best way I know how to explain it. In other words, the light was showing me they were questionable as to whether they would go to heaven or whether they would go to hell based on the pattern of their life. And I knew my mother had a lot of problems, especially with the beatings I used to get. My dad was a quiet alcoholic all of his life, and he finally died of liver cancer from the alcohol that killed him. Mm-hmm. But I knew their faith was diminishing as I had reached age 25. And I was concerned. Later on, I got to see hell and I got to see Hades. Our Lord wanted me to see them both. But I didn't want them to go there. So I made the decision to come back to see if I could be the influence mm-hmm. that would help them in the end to get them home where they belong, because I love them so much.
Have you forgiven your mother?
Yes. It's difficult to do, especially the people at Vaughn's Supermarket that sold me the bad meat that led to writing the Master's Key. And that's been the most difficult part of forgiveness I've had to do towards the ones who have hurt me. One thing I've learned is even if people don't receive the forgiveness, it's better to just let go. Otherwise, you hang on to all of that pain that's inside of you, and you don't give God a chance to heal you mm-hmm. from the hurts that you've been given.
So for the people out there watching this program, and we'll see the replay later, I am sure there are some people that harbor unforgiveness, and they will probably justify it for whatever horror they had to go through. What would you say to people that are having a hard time to forgive? How important is forgiveness?
It's very important, because when you don't forgive, then you keep yourself from loving the ones who have hurt you. And when you step before the Lord himself, he accepts you just the way you are, even your sins, your shortcomings, whatever. He doesn't judge you. Mm-hmm. You judge yourself, especially if you get the life's review, if you want to go that route. It was available to me, but I didn't really need it because I understood what had happened in my life. Mm-hmm. And then you have to cast the judgment on yourself of how you behave. The beauty about my experience was I was looking at perfect righteousness and perfect love when I looked upon him. So there's your standard. Mm-hmm. If you get that experience, if you get to be in his presence. Mm-hmm. And I knew I had stuff I had to work on, but he didn't really care. It didn't matter to him at all, because his love was perfect enough to carry me and everyone else. And I got that. Mm-hmm. I got that message. And that was a beautiful experience to have, to experience the unconditional love and his understanding mm-hmm. towards me and the life I had lived.
You know, I said something about cats earlier, kind of a tongue-in-cheek earlier, and maybe at the beginning of the show, and I was just thinking as you're talking that, you know, you can take a dog and make him go to his house because he's been bad, or you can even be mean to your dog, I guess, and he will forgive you. Dogs always have this sort of forgiveness. He'll lick you in the face, but cats, they never forget, okay?
They never forget.
They will plot against you.
Man, they never forget.
You can see them sitting there. You can see them thinking. They're making their get ready to make their move, and you don't know when it's going to come. Okay. All right. So let's get some more questions from the viewers here. It says from Australian Ben. It says, Kevin, if the body dies, consciousness thrives, does this mean death is actually the great awakening?
Yes. It's more of an awakening than it is really death. Here's a bit. Let's see if I can try to put this in our language you can understand. We come out of the light, which is God's ultimate complete knowledge and knowing and everything else. And we're part of that existence. We literally condense ourselves down as souls into these experiences, these bodies that we get. We take it on at birth and we go for the ride. But when we leave this body, we then expand back into what we were before we took on the body. So this is very limiting. But we take on the limitation because we're challenging ourselves to love. Can we go through all, like what I've been through, all the horrendousness, the pain, the horrors, the hurts, and still keep loving, even though we're in this limited form? And this is the challenge of coming to the earth or even to any of the planets in the universe when you decide to take on an incarnation. And by the way, I'm not going against the resurrection of our Lord. That's all coming. Everything he said that applies to the eschatology of this planet is dead on correct. But to know more about the universe, even what reincarnation is, you got to go beyond this planet to even talk about that stuff. So to answer your caller's question, there was a really great awakening that took place with me when I had the experience, and I still carry that with me. But it's hard to be here because I can see all the pain and suffering on the earth, and I feel it in my heart, even when I see others suffering, and all the, even what we've had recently with the riots and the COVID-19, I'm hurting inside going, I want to help. That's what I came back to do, and that's what I'm here to do.
You said when you're talking to, or when you were in your the heaven space, you indicated that God is in everything. I think is kind of, not exactly how you said it, but there are scriptural references to that where it says God is above all, in all, through you all, and another one says all things exist through him, as if
yes,
that he is everything. But let me ask you something. You mentioned the COVID there, and of course riots going on. We have people in the live chat that are living quite literally in a war zone. What, and now where do you live at, Kevin?
Well, I live in the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And boy, we had the sirens and helicopters over here with the looting that was going on, and all I could hear was our Lord saying, just stay in your home, you're going to be fine, I'm watching over you. But I had to watch it on TV and also hear it locally. Mm-hmm. So it was scary. It was scary to go through.
Mm-hmm. So, but you said you heard God tell you to stay in place and you'd be all right. And obviously you're sitting here talking to us live. Your internet connection is good. Your camera's good. But is there, how do you tell folks that are living in it? Because you're living in it right now. That is there something better coming, or is worse things coming than what's going on right now?
Well, first, the things that are in the Bible have to come to pass. So there's already, if you could step out of your body right now, there's a horrendous darkness covering the earth created by man's sins. I got to see it. And eventually when our Lord comes, the brilliance of his coming will dispel that darkness when he does come. And he is coming back physically to the earth to take the throne of David and the new temple and everything when it's built. We're not there yet, but it's coming. And the darkness that is there that everyone has created, we can help slow the creation of that darkness down by not letting these things get to us, by really pushing the effort to really love one another and try to understand each other's position and be compassionate towards each other. That was helps bring the light in, the light of God into our planet right now. And the darkness is bad. It's very, very bad. So do expect that it's going to get worse in the time ahead. But, you know, they always say the old saying, it's darkest before the dawn. And that's going to apply to us as this thing continues to progress forward.
That's exciting. Okay, let's get some more questions here. The Doreen 8951 says, Kevin, are we in the end times now?
Yes, we are. We are so close to our Lord's return. He could return at any moment at this point in time. I want to quote Dr. Richard Eby. I got to talk to Dick Eby a number of times at length over the phone 20 years ago. This is before his death. But he had been dead for 18 hours. He lost all the blood out of his body. And he came back. Our Lord sent him back. And they had to put the blood back into his body. And he was on TBN twice. But one of the things that Dick Eby said was, what was revealed to him was our Lord told him that all our Father is waiting for right now is for the last soul to accept his Son, because he knows every heart. When that happens, then the end will begin, you might say. And this starts with the rapture of the church. And you, none of you are used to seeing the power of God demonstrated before you, and I am. And I've seen stuff that would be akin to what the kids at Fatima got to see a long time ago, about 100 years ago. And when this happens, a lot of people are going to be scared because they're not going to understand what's going on. But our Lord is going to take his own first. Then the God of old is going to return that everyone is scared of. And I guarantee you they have a right to be scared of him. because he's going to unleash his anger towards sin on the earth. And this is where you see the NDEs coming back that show the future world, where they draw the map of the world and the devastation on the planet. Well, that's coming. And our Father's going to do all of that as he levels everything, because he's going to make way for his son's kingdom as he destroys all the works of man on the face of the earth. When I was in heaven, when I was standing next to our Lord, over to my left was the throne room of God. My mansion is one of the few mansions that's not that far from the throne room. So I'm pretty close to our Father, I've learned, going through this lifetime. And you can feel, I mean, the throne room is like made of bluish, silvery white light, intense light, lighting up all of heaven. And you can feel the righteousness of our Father pouring out of it, and it'd scare the hell out of you. If you could even just stand where I was standing. I didn't even want to go into the throne room. I was so scared. I felt comfortable next to Jesus standing next to me, but I just wasn't ready to face the one who's in that throne room. And he's a perfect God. He's a righteous thinking. I mean, he thinks correctly all the time, never makes a mistake or an error. And that's the one who we're serving, who created everything that you see that's all around you.
Mm-hmm. So are we at the beginning of the times of sorrows, the first half of the tribulation? Where are we at?
We are going to go into sorrow. There's going to be a false peace on the earth. The Bible talks about this. We're getting a taste of some of that now. And then I guess the best way to explain the one the church calls the Antichrist is he's going to get two-thirds of it right as far as handling the earth the way Jesus would handle it. But the last third he's going to get wrong, and that's going to cause the mess that takes place on the earth, which sends us into World War III. And it's going to be a nasty battle. And it won't culminate in everything being destroyed, because in order for the passage in the Bible that says man will become as rare as gold on the earth, there's going to be a lot of death when our Father releases his anger. But there will be some that survive. And when our Lord returns with his church and the glorified bodies that the ones are coming back with him, there's going to be those on the earth who are also mortal. And this, there'll be a procreation process for 1,000 years as the earth is replenished and rebuilt.
Okay. All right. Let's get some more questions here. Do you believe you were reincarnated, or you just came back from the dead, and that's separate from reincarnation?
No, I came back from the dead.
So that's
I
not
did a
reincarnation.
In other words, I got back into my dead body.
Because if you really said you were reincarnated, a whole lot of people are going to be pissed off. Just well, telling you.
Well, I got back into my body. We have the ability to do this. Our Lord gave us this when he died on the cross. But because most people are caught up in their own beliefs and won't believe him at his word, they won't do it. See, you're stuck in whatever you believe in. Even when you go in the light will introduce whatever you bring with you into the light. So, you know, in my case, I just wanted to talk to our Lord. Mm-hmm. So he came and we had a nice chat and I got straightened out about a lot of stuff. So my beliefs died in the light. What replaced them was truth, nothing but truth after truth after truth. Mm. So I can see where he's going with this whole thing and why he's doing what he's doing. On the issue of reincarnation, you have to understand, if to even talk about the subject, you have to separate the eschatology of this planet from the cosmology of the universe on the subject. There are some of us who have come here who have reincarnated, but most are young souls that have come from heaven that our Father has assigned here to help them to master the things they need to master to learn what love is all about. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, yeah, the universe does work mostly on the basis of reincarnation, but this planet is under different judgments by the light, which our Lord tried to communicate to us when he appeared on the earth and was recorded in the book that we call the Bible.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend lives out in California, has a business, and apparently a lot of businesses around his have been destroyed, and by some miraculous event, his hasn't been. To me, that's prophetic. That's a miracle in and of itself. But do you recommend that people move away from these areas of carnage and looting and that burning or what?
No, you won't be able to get away from it, because what's going on the earth right now is what our Lord said, the separating of the chaff from the wheat. We've got a lot of people have turned over to evil and don't even know that they've done it, because if you're breaking our Lord's laws, you've given yourself over to the Satan way of thinking, the Satan way of thinking, as it's called. As I said, there's going to be those who are going to come to him and say, you know, I did this in your name and did that in your name. And he's going to say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I didn't know you. Because unless you're keeping his laws and his commandments, you're not part of him. And that's how simply he looks at it. But the beauty about all of this, too, is his grace. His grace, I can't even begin to calculate or understand his grace. You got people who are atheists, who are skeptics, that die and they get to see him. So, you know, go figure on that one, you know. And then there are those who go to hell and some are getting a second chance coming back. You see all this on YouTube. And hell and heaven are talked about in the Bible. But know this, that the rest of the planets don't work that way.
Well, let me ask you something. The Bible talks about, uses nature as an example, talks about the ant. And it says now something on the order of go to now sluggard, behold the ant who prepares his bounty, his survival food for the winter. Okay.
Correct.
And now, but so that tells you, said that nature itself shows you, and the bee. I'm a beekeeper. They work all summer long storing up honey, so they make it through the winter. Of course, I steal it, and then they got problems. But if nature then is a demonstration of how humans should be, would the ants make their stores of their goods next to somebody who's using insecticide? And in that case, that would be, in earthly terms, the riot and looting. So wouldn't the ant want to take and move? Wouldn't that be a natural showing us of how to proceed?
Oh, I think I know where you're going, because, you know, I keep watching. You know, they sell these kits, survival kits and stuff, you know, for people to survive, because everyone's anticipating there's going to be tremendous havoc on the earth. And they're going to try to survive. Let's put it this way. When our Father finally releases his wrath, there'll be no place to hide. Mm-hmm. Because he's going to level everything on the planet. All the works of man are going to be utterly and completely destroyed. And I'm speaking to you as one of our Lord's lords and kings in the making. You won't be able to escape it, no matter how hard you try. But the best thing to do is not to even think that way, but to simply turn to Jesus and receive him into your life and start to work with him, start to listen to him, start to learn from him. Mm-hmm. I'm working at an incredibly high level at this point, being on this world. It's very difficult for me even to be here, let alone to be talking about all of this, because I know how all of you think. I know how all the belief systems in each person work. And all I can tell you is that we really shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater with all these NDEs, because Jesus is real. He did come here. He did die on the cross, and he wants to bring us home to him. I will have all of you to come and see the mansion that's waiting for me in heaven. This is a separate chamber in the light. You have to travel from the earth into the light and go to where heaven is located. And this mansion is incredible. It's a two-story mansion, all white and gold trim on the outside, and the grand ballroom that's in the middle. I want all of you to come and dance. I want to see you shake your hand, say, come on in, and dance up the storm. It's an incredible place to see, and heaven itself has a lot to offer all of us.
Kevin, I asked earlier about your relatives there teeter-tottering between heaven and hell. What are they still teetering and tottering?
No. I was with my father while he died, while he took his last breath, his last words, while I and an attendant held him up. We were trying to keep him from drowning in his own blood when the veins in his esophagus started to break open. And his last words were, Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. And then he took his last breath and he choked on the blood. Wow. I was crying up a storm. But here's an interesting thing about him. After that happened, I asked our Lord, I said, could you please tell me that you got him? Because I came back here to make sure that he, my mother, and my brother were going to be okay. And 2 weeks later, I was with my brother and his wife. And we went out to have something to eat. And Mary Jean is his wife's name. And Mary Jean's going, Pat, tell your brother the dream you had. And he was kind of nervous about it because he doesn't, you know, a lot of people don't like addressing this stuff. I can't help it. I've been exposed to it for over a lifetime, you know. And he looks at me and he tells me, he says, well, what happened was I redreamt the entire scenario of when we came into the room, when you were holding Dad up and the attendant was holding him up when he drowned in his blood. And I saw us come into the room. And then he said, I saw Dad stand up out of his body, and he was young, he was healthy. And behind him, he said, was this enormous, immense light pulling him into the light. And when he woke up, he was in a sweat. He was sweating so hard. And I looked at Pat and I laughed and I said, you know, Pat, I said, I asked Jesus if he'd please give me a sign to let me know that Dad was okay. Then he got him. And he gave that to you instead of giving it to me, because I've already seen it. But he knows you need to see it so you'll believe, and also believe what I'm telling you. What I experienced was real. Mm-hmm. So that part was great. With my mother, I got another out-of-body experience dream that assured me she was okay. And I've had plenty of time to talk to my brother through all of this to make sure that I reach him. So I'm really done with them, you know. I think they're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. My parents are okay, and I think my brother's going to make it in the end.
Would you consider anything of what you've been saying so far what some would describe as New Age?
Yeah, I had an email where somebody hit me with that and said, oh, you're doing New Age, repent. And I wrote back to them and I said, I just told all of you I met Jesus as the Son of God. I'm not denying his existence, or I'm not deviating from the true gospel of Jesus Christ. But know this, most of you don't understand what's hiding in that book that you all are going to learn when you die. So this isn't New Age. This is just a further extension of knowledge and understanding that I'm trying to give. And the reason why I'm doing this is because there is key knowledge revealed in the Master's Key that I know readers are going to say, how in the world does he know this? How did he learn this? If I don't tell you that I had the two death encounters, you're not going to understand the greater knowledge that I reveal that will teach you how to change your biological terrain and regain your health, even if you're in fourth stage cancer and you're about to die. Mm-hmm. And your doctors can't do anything anyway. Your Western doctors can't help you. Mm-hmm. But you need this knowledge, mm-hmm. this greater knowledge, to be able to understand how to use everything that's in this world to get your body well.
All right. This question comes from Azure. It says, Kevin, why does God revealed himself to you? Was it in a physical way or a spiritual way?
Well, okay. Now we get into a syntax and semantics problem right here. The way I look at it is there's no spiritual or physical when you finally see the full reality of this thing. People have an odd concept of death. The only thing that dies is the body. It returns back to the dust it was taken from, the elements of the earth. The real you and me, we're eternal. These bodies are on loan. We step into them for a time, and then we return back to the realm that is normal to us. You know, when they use the word supernatural, it means more natural than natural. They call this the natural realm, but supernatural means more natural than natural, which means if you're too used to thinking about being in your physical body, you're in the wrong place, because the real you is a being made of light, and that's more normal. That should be more normal to you than this world is in its physical sense.
Well, that is biblical. The Bible says that things are made or more, or the things that are not seen are more real than the things that are. So that's not exactly New Age. That lines perfectly up right there. All right, let's get to another question. Janet asks, is Jesus coming soon? You may have already answered that, but go ahead.
Yeah, he can come at any time. You know, I remember Angelica Mora's testimony, reading about her, because she was dead for 23 hours. Jesus showed her hell and showed her heaven. And one of the things she reported in her testimony was that Jesus said, I'm beyond the door. And that's, you know, one of the scriptures that says, you will know when I'm even at the door. Well, he's telling her, I'm beyond the door. In other words, he's trying to say, get ready, kids, because I'm about to appear. He told the same thing to Jesse Duplantis when I heard his lengthy testimony. And he told the same thing to Dick Eby when Dick Eby was alive. Although Dick Eby thought that Jesus would appear in his lifetime, and he didn't. And I can tell you for certain, we are in the time period. But remember, the Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. We're not supposed to know, because we're supposed to, we're being tested and tried to see, are we going to stay true to the course of his commandments and everything else, even up to the moment he raptures us out, or if conventional death takes you. I don't care which one takes me. I'm not afraid of death. Although it would be interesting to experience the rapture. I haven't experienced that yet, and that would be fun.
Well, so, yeah, sounds like a lot of fun. All right, Southern Boy, it says, so did you, I guess he's saying, did you use your story to convince your mother and brother to become Christians?
No. I simply shared with them, or tried to share with them, what I had experienced. I left it up to them to decide the course of their life, because I knew that our Lord accepts us just the way we are. It doesn't matter everything that you've done in your life. It's better that you don't sin, because that's questionable as to you know, where you'll wind up after you die. See, the problem is sin is a force. It's an energy we create when we do the actions that we do, and it's done as beings of light. So whatever you're doing in your body, even if you're not conscious of it, you're doing to yourself as a living soul, and you're setting up yourself up for where you're going to go after you die. So if you're doing all this negative stuff, you're being cruel to people, you're not loving them, you're not loving yourself, you're not trying to help people through their problems, or if they have needs, because these are the things our Lord would do if he was on the earth, then you're setting yourself up for hell. And I guarantee you, you do not want to see that place. I got to see some of it, and I don't want to see it again. I also got a tour of Hades, and that was the scariest place I could ever even begin to imagine. And they're both different from each other. The hell is the fire, the furnace. That's the final place. But the Hades, man, it's so darn dark now. Where it is, and you hear people screaming and yelling, and it's full of nothing but self-centered people. And I don't understand the difference why the Lord separates it like he does, but in the second judgment he's going to do, he's going to pull all those people out and assign them to the final hell in the end. And then the rest of us will be with him.
So you're saying that the people in Hades that are being tortured right now are going to come out, and then they're going to get sent to hell?
Yes, because that's in the Bible, too. That's the second, resurrection, the second that takes place.
Where is hell located?
Well, Hades is, you know, scientists have known for a long time that every planet has a dark core to it, just like each galaxy has a dark black hole in the center. And I had a guide. I forgive me if this offends some people. I don't know what else to call these beings that God sends me. But I got this, I got pulled out of my body one night by this 15-year-old kid, made a bluish, silvery white light, and he told me to follow him, and we went into the earth. We went into the center of the earth. And I got to see something that Howard Storm talks about in his testimony. As he said, the opening going into Hades is like the mouth of an open volcano. And our light was bright enough that I could see this thing when we entered into it. So we went into the earth itself, and God uses that core as a holding tank for souls that are going to be judged when the final judgment comes by our Father as he establishes his kingdom here on the earth prior to all of that. And we walked through that place. And Daniel, my light, I'm a lit being, and so are you. If you went into that place, your light would barely light the anything that's in front of you. It's so darn dark, so absolutely dark. And the torment that goes on is not that so much that they're tormenting each other, which they are, but it's the darkness. It's the being lost. It's being cut off from everything, whether it's you know, what they were doing in life. You know, they miss the sunlight, they miss the earth, they miss all the joys and pleasures they had in the earth, and they're screaming in horror that they have this no more. It's heartbreaking. When we descended back through the opening, the guide stopped me, the kid stopped me, and he looked at me with a very serious look, and he said, God wanted you to know that this was real. And he says, he also wants you to know that even the demons in hell respect you. And that got me. And I thought, why was that? And God told me, he said, it's because they've been trying to kill you ever since you came back from my presence, because you know too damn much. They don't want their evil plans revealed, and you're revealing them. Mm-hmm. You're telling the world what it really is.
Kevin, you were on Coast to Coast with George Norrie.
Yes, I was.
More than once?
Twice. Yeah. November 19th and April 5th.
Yeah. So as I was watching, they were referring to an earlier broadcast with you. I don't know that he is, in the classic sense, a Christian. How does he receive some of these things you're talking about when you're talking about Jesus being a real person and heaven being, and hell being a real place? How does he receive that?
I don't fully know, but I do know George was raised Christian Catholic. Mm-hmm. So he has a Catholic background like I do. He's been exposed to a lot of the things that are in the Bible. My gut level feeling is he delighted in everything that I was sharing with him and was glad that I appeared to share the knowledge and the answers. I can't help that I know as much as I do. Some people get offended that I know as much as I do. I said, what am I supposed to do? Lie? This is what I was exposed to. The light was pouring so much knowledge and answers into me. I can't run away from it. It just keeps pouring out of me. And I can't stop it. And it keeps transforming me and changing me. Hmm. This is what's going to happen to all of you when God really gets a hold of you, because he's going to transform into the likeness of his son.
Well, now that would be a way to tell if God's working in your, if you're in your life, if you feel like you are being transformed.
Yes, I do. In a grand way. I'm not the same person I was at 18 or at 25. And as the answers continue to unfold and come out of me, I have such compassion for our Lord when I look at him in my thoughts, and even when I met him in person. And I grieve for his own suffering. But I also have questions and stuff I want to talk to him further about when I get to see him again concerning his book, because the book isn't complete. They slapped the word holy onto the book in 1650, and the Nicaea Order and the Council of Trent knew not to put that word on it, because in John 21:25 it says if all the things that Jesus did could have been recorded, the book couldn't hold all the earth, all the books. Well, you know, the earth couldn't hold all the books. Well, you know, 66 documents doesn't cover the earth. So John was trying to say, look, we don't have time or the resources to write all the answers down, but I think there's enough there to get the gospel message there. But there's a whole bunch of potholes and sinkholes in the book that need to be filled in. And you can read all of that in heaven. And you go to the Hall of Records that Edgar Cayce talked about. That place is real. I've seen that place, and it's an astounding place to see. Wonderful place where you can just get books and read them. And if you love reading books, you know, God supplies everything you want in heaven.
Mm. I think a lot of people like to have a conversation with Jesus. All right, Australian Ben says, Kevin, can you please give a scale description of the size of heaven? Is it taller than the tallest building, bigger than the Great Wall of China? Are there lions in heaven? A little bit, I guess he's wanting more description.
Okay, what I got to see when I had the second death encounter and I went deeper into the light, I made like a right turn because there's all these different chambers in the light, all these different heavens for all the different planets that have sentient life on them. God inhabits all of them because the whole thing's inside of his being. I took a right turn, and as I started to fly in, what I got to see looked like the sphere of a planet. It was like a partial sphere. And in the center was the throne room, which is lifted above all the different paradises. So John the Apostle had that right. And what astounded me were all the different places. There's apartments, there's mansions, there's houses, there's fields. It's just a big place, very big place. And the amazing thing is when you look at the throne room of God, which is like this intense bluish silvery white light, like a bluish silvery white sapphire lighting up all of heaven, is that the light is so great that it just lights everything up beautifully. It's different from our sun because we, you know, our sun's, you know, got this white kind of light to it, but this has a bluish silvery white light to it. So it, and heaven itself is like living inside of your computer. You know, when you look at your computer screen, it's lit. Well, that's what heaven is like. You go into it, everything's brighter, everything's lighter. There's no death in heaven at all. Anything that you want, you can even eat in heaven if you want to, you know, you don't have to. But God supplies everything. Anything that you want is available to you there. The one thing that isn't available is sex. That ends in death, because sex is a device of the planets for creating bodies for souls to live in. You have no more need for it, nor do you have any desire for it, because the love of God is so incredibly perfect, you're complete and whole by the presence of God's Spirit permeating through you.
So would I be able to get a good steak dinner up there?
Yes, sir. probably the best you've ever had in your life.
Okay, man. Right on. The Hall of Records, wasn't that supposed to be under the Sphinx or maybe in Atlantis?
I've studied some about Atlantis, and I don't recall if that's correct. When I was in heaven, I was wondering where it was when I was standing next to Jesus. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God answered and said, it's on the other side of the throne room. You know, just go around the embankment to where what's the crystal sea is. You know, God keeps everything. Every single living animal has a soul in it, a piece of God's consciousness in it. God throws nothing away. So all the animals are kept by him. Even the ocean is there. You know, all the life forms. I don't even know how big the ocean is. It would have to be pretty big to hold so many life forms. But every single thing is a part of God's being. So God doesn't throw it away.
What about plants?
Well, there's plenty of plants in heaven.
Am I going to have to ask forgiveness from like the grass that I cut or the weed?
No. You know,
are they still going to be around to haunt me up here?
You know, think of it this way. I had a friend of mine, he's disabled. His name's Mark Quesnall. He met me years ago. And we were talking about all of this over the years. And he says, well, you know, everything's a sin. I said, no, Mark. Look at Romans 3:16, what Paul said. Everything is a grace, unmerited favor. Mm-hmm. So the Lord, condones whatever you do. Remember, he said, whatever value system you're going to use is what he'll judge you by. Mm-hmm. He doesn't condemn us at all because it's all covered on the cross. Mm-hmm. So when you face him, you're going to face someone who will look at you like you didn't even sin.
Ooh, that's good news there.
Yes, sir.
You know, somebody said they asked God, as he said, the question you never ask God how it goes is you never ask God, why me? Because then he'll say, do you want a list? So, you know, don't ever ask God that question. Why me, Lord? But when you're in heaven, you say there's no sex going on, no lustful thoughts or intents, I suppose. But yes. Is there distinction still between men and women?
Yes, there is. Yeah. I remember Richard Eby said when he was telling his testimony, he said he had no genitals. He was neuter. And he asked the Lord about that. And the Lord said, well, I told you. I said, sex is a device for the planets. You know, I learned the same thing that Richard Eby did. That's why I don't have to talk to him. But you have your identity. You have your male identity. You have your female identity. You keep your form. Unless you decide to go incarnate somewhere else, you do have that option. You have free will to do whatever you want to do. You do not have to reincarnate. But sometimes people get interested, or souls get interested in other things going on in the universe, or God interests them and moves them to go to these places where they'll grow more, and also where they can be of help. That's why I was sent here. I was sent to help. And I'm on the last part of my life doing this work that I'm doing. But the reward that I'm getting out of it is I'm growing at tremendous speed going through what I'm going through.
Did you say you had a choice whether or not to come back?
Yes, sir, I did. And our Lord, you remember in the first one, our Lord said, come on home. Well, when I was with him in heaven, it was the same thing. In fact, just before I got to see the mansion, walk into it. And before I came back, he lifted his left arm up and pointed to the mansion and said, I just wanted you to know this is waiting for you when you're ready. And he said it very peacefully, very quietly. And because he knew I was going to come back to work on this book, I wanted to keep my promise to him that I would do it for him. And I came back and, of course, continued to work. And here I am talking to you with the book completed to try to help all of you out who have been praying for this knowledge.
Did all the information that you received, is all that information in the book, or is it going to require another book?
Oh, I could write books until I'm 100 years old before I communicated all of this. I think the key stuff is there. I tell some of my story, but I go into a lot of the science because I know a lot of you have respect for science. And I especially want to reach the skeptic and the atheist. Even if they won't believe my story, I want them to really receive the science because I want them to live long enough to have a chance to sort it out more. And it'll be up to them in the end what they decide. I'm not really sure what our Lord's full reason is for having me do this, because he went out of his way to tell me he wanted this thing done, which I tried to share with George Norrie in the second interview, and I told about that experience. And but I think very soon we're going to see its purpose, especially since the COVID-19 virus has come out and the riots that have happened with the racial problems that are going on in our country. But I think more is going to come where the world's going to say, we got to go read Kevin's book. We need the knowledge that's there to help us.
Mm, that's a lofty goal right there. Has somebody gotten your book and then communicated back with you and said they were either healed or some miraculous thing happened as a result of your book?
You know, I have thought, I've hoped that that would happen. So far, every single person that has bought and read the book, I get nothing but outstanding praise for the contents of the book. I haven't had one negative report from anyone who has bought and read it. And that encourages me, because I went through a lot of pain and suffering through all of this to make it possible for everyone to receive what I got to receive. And I used on my own body, plus I helped others to create documented case studies in the book to show people this is these are absolute laws that apply to their body as well, and they can achieve the same thing that I've achieved if they're willing to put the work and effort in to get it done.
Okay, you said that you received your benefit from your own information. Were you sick, or did you have COVID, or what? Were you healed? What happened?
What happened was I walked into a local Vons Pavilion here back in 1994, and I bought contaminated sausage from their meat section. And no sooner did I eat it, I was having problems. I was breaking out in these ulcerations on my body, having trouble breathing. I called my mother and said, told her what was going on. She said, why don't you take 4 Benadryl and go lie down? Maybe it'll pass. You know, drink water and stuff. And I said, all right. So I fell asleep, and when I woke up to a nightmare. My hands were 3 times their size, full of fluid, so were my feet. I had tons of ulcerated circles on my body. I ran next door to my neighbor, James Watson, and told him, quick, get me to the hospital. And he looked at me and said, oh, my God. And he threw me in his car and took me to Sherman Oaks Community Hospital. It was close to Christmas, you know, and my doctor was at a Christmas party, so they called him in. He looked at me and he said, Kevin, we're not going to clear this up in the emergency room. We're going to have to hospitalize you. And they put me in ICU, and I just about died in ICU. And then I started to come back and come around. They kept me in a regular ward for 3 days and released me. And I thought that would be the end of it. And I threw the sausage away. Unfortunately, it did not stop. It started to escalate into one complication after the next. And I kept getting hospitalized. And then finally, after 3 years of dealing with Western medicine through all of these complications, my doctor came into the exam room and looked at me. And he quietly closed the door. And he was deadly serious. And he says, Kevin, I have to tell you, you're going to die soon. We don't know what's killing you, but there's nothing more Western medicine can do for you. And I was in shock. I said, you're kidding. I thought there was going to be more. And he said, no, that's it. He says, I'm going to cancel your bill because I don't think it's fair to charge you anymore. And I went down into my car, lost as all can be, and bowed my head in prayer. And I said, Lord, what's going on with you and the others on the other side? What are you sending me through? What's this all about? You know, I had no idea what was going on. So I drove home. And eventually, in a few weeks, a few months, I was lying on the floor, basically going into a coma. I was trying to try herbs and other stuff, and nothing was working. And it was on my living room floor, and I said, this is it. You know, I'm going to die. I'm just going to let it come. And I started to slip into a coma, and I went into complete darkness. And for the moment I was in that darkness, I heard this beautiful voice, this female voice say, rise up. Your healing is waiting for you. And it woke me up. But I couldn't find the strength to get my body to move. So it took about an hour, and I got my body up, got into the car. I was totally disconnected from everything, driving down Van Nuys Boulevard to a place called Healthy Discounts, where I wanted to go. And as I walked into the store that Sunday afternoon, and usually the store is not crowded on a Sunday afternoon towards the evening, this time it was. And all of a sudden, a miracle happened. Someone lowered all the voices. So about 34 to 40 people in that store lowered all the voices almost to nothing. And all I could hear was this man talking to this woman. And I gravitated over towards him because he was saying, "Madam, I'm trying to tell you, you have parasites in your body. I can help you." And she's clamoring on, going, "I don't have parasites. I'm a clean woman," and blah, blah. She's going on like this. And the reason why this man interested me, because I was earlier in the Tarzana emergency room and met a doctor because I was having spasms behind my rib cage all the time for about 2 years. And I finally got a doctor who diagnosed it and said, "You have costal chondritis." I said, "What's that?" Well, he said, "Normally, Kevin, it's caused by parasites in the system." But he said, "Kevin, we're not set up as community hospitals to deal with any of that. We do surgery, we give you antibiotics, and that's about it. You know, it's about all we do. But this is, you know, considered exotic stuff. You know, you'd have to go to a specialist for something like this." But that's where the word, and he said, "You just don't do parasites." And that's where the word parasites came in. So all of a sudden, I hear this man at Healthy Discounts mentioning the word parasites, and I made the connection. So I gravitated towards him. He introduced himself as Dr. Rick Santee, a naturopath doctor. And he set up an appointment with me to do a live cell blood exam. I had dealt with microscopy as a scientist in my years, but I'd never seen a live cell blood exam done, so this fascinated me. So I met with him at his place. He had everything set up, hooked up to a TV monitor where we could record everything. I have those recordings even to today. And he handed me a notepad and he said, "Here, write down what I'm going to tell you." And Daniel, I was so fatigued and so out of it, I thought, "Oh my God, I have to write everything down." I thought, "Oh well, let's start with the documentation, you know, I'm used to that." And he wrote everything down, and when I was done, I mean, I wrote everything down, and when he's done dictating it, he stood up from where he was sitting while I was watching it all on the TV monitor, and I said, "Okay, you've told me the bad news. Now, how difficult is this thing going to be to fix?" And he said, "You know, the sad thing about this, Kevin, is it's easy to fix. It's going to take time. But I want to start you out with two options. We're going to start to clean your blood first." That's when I got introduced to Dr. Beck's technology, the blood electrifier that I started with. And he also recommended some herbal approaches. And I started to build from there and also started to do a lot of reading on my own into all the health sciences. I've read thousands of scientific abstracts, hundreds of health books, mm-hmm. to see what they had to say. Well, Kevin, everyone was kind of ghosting around the edge until I finally wrote what I did in the master's key.
Okay, well, the question is, did the information in your book get you healed?
Yes. I was able to stop the disease process. I identified it, recorded it, and also shut it down. The only problem is it took so long to figure it out. I suffered trauma to key areas of my body, which I live with right now. Mm-hmm. One of my discs blew and got herniated, and I've got a lesion in the pubic bone area. Okay,
Did the information fix that?
No, because this is trauma. Medicine is divided into trauma, chronic disease, and congenital issues.
Okay.
Once trauma happens, that's a different story.
Okay. You did mention that we're in the age of riots and COVID, and I got to be careful here because somebody said colloidal silver can cure. So I'm not saying that whatever you say is true or is it any kind of cure whatsoever. I'm putting out a disclaimer. But is there information in there that will positively affect somebody who has COVID?
Yes, and also the AIDS virus. If you go back to the work of William Lyman and Dr. Stephen Kiley, this is covered in Dr. Beck's documentation called Take Back Your Power. You will learn that these men were working on electromedicine even 20 years ago. But electromedicine is logged into the patent office dating back almost 100 years. The reason why you guys don't know about any of this is because President Theodore Roosevelt banned it back in 1910 in favor of the drug companies because he had stock in the drug companies. And he wanted to make money off the drugs. But if you look into the science behind electromedicine, it's fantastic to what it can do.
Do you have any physical ailments now?
The only thing I have is the damage in my back, and I have the lesion in the pubic bone area. I have a small wrist tumor right here. Mm-hmm. I could have surgery done on the wrist tumor. I'm not sure about the lesion. I'm going to try something new. I haven't tried, and there's no documentation on what I'm about to do. But I think I can master the lesion using a blood root, which is an herb, that goes after these things. I've had tremendous success using Bloodroot in the past.
The only time that you've heard from Jesus is that when you had a near-death experience, or have you heard from him since?
I have miracles, supernatural events happening to me all the time. One of the best ones, I was just sharing this with Kevin Moore, who interviewed me, and I told this to Kevin. I said, one of the best ones I got to see was one night I've been fighting all of this. I went to the kitchen about midnight. I had something to eat late at night. I looked up into the sky. There was just one lone, huge cloud sitting there in the sky. And this sky, Daniel, was shaped in perfection to the form of a male angel, with his arms folded over his hands like this, the wings flying. He was wearing like the caftan I saw our Lord wearing with his feet, and he had wings. And it was to say, I love you. And I looked at this thing and I said, oh my God, that is incredible. And I thought, do I have time to get my camera and take a time-lapse photo of this? And I thought, nah, don't bother. This is for your eyes only. Just enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I have stuff like that and all kinds of other things going on will keep me going. And I don't know why the Lord doesn't just flat out finish the healing, but he won't. Not yet.
Okay. Are there female angels?
Yes, there are.
Okay.
Very lovely to see, too.
Okay. What is
they're very beautiful to look upon.
Very beautiful to look at, but not lust upon, right?
Right. Okay. You won't lust after them.
That sounds like a no-no there. All right.
You can look upon. I love beauty. I was born a Libra, so I love looking at beauty, but I don't think the way the world does, as far as the lust part is concerned.
Okay, I understand. All right, Azur says, Kevin, what's the median age in heaven?
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, I got to see myself. I thought, you know, I kind of hit full height when I was 16 years old. I looked no more than somewhere between 16 and 20 years old when I got to see myself. There's no old age in heaven. Old age is death to God. Mm-hmm. But I've heard some people, you know, when I looked at the angels, the two big angels that came behind me when I was seven, they were double my height. When I looked at their faces, it's like looking at a 24-year-old, you know. They're young looking. They're not old looking. But these guys were big. And, you know, they had the caftans. They had the gold band. They had golden blonde hair with locks going down it. And these guys wouldn't even crack a smile when I was there. You don't mess with them, man, when you get to see them.
All right. Australian Ben says, Kevin, does the government have secret Stargate technology?
Oh, that I don't know.
Okay.
You know, even as a scientist. I'll tell you one thing. When I was a boy at 10 years of age, I was getting up on my bunk bed one night, and most who might still be alive who were in Los Angeles at that time might remember this. But I saw this light coming across the horizon, which was coming towards us like something out of The Day the Earth Stood Still. And I screamed out, UFO, UFO, and I ran through the house, started banging on all the doors to get witnesses. And this thing came over our house, and it hovered, our apartment, and it hovered over the apartment. It was fairly high up, but you could sort of see its form. And it hovered there for about 20 minutes, and then it took off in another direction at blinding speed. That night, Jerry Dunphy, who was one of the anchors back then, reported it on the news, but he kind of sloughed it off. You know, if you're drinking too much, you might have seen a UFO or whatever. But we knew differently. We knew this thing was there. So what I'm trying to say is, I know the Earth is being visited. I just don't know what the full thing is fully about as far as these visits are coming. Everyone has their theories. But we're not alone in the universe, and it wouldn't surprise me that we're getting visits from other worlds at this stage in our development.
Do you think we're getting visits from time travelers as well?
That I couldn't tell you. Traveling in the physical body is different from traveling when you're outside of your body. Time and space are not an issue when you're traveling outside of your body. You can go back in time, forward in time, it doesn't matter. But to try to do it in the body, theoretically, would be impossible to do unless you could just transfer the spirit back in time and then reassemble the body in that time period. It's only I can think about it as a scientist. Mm-hmm. But that's never been done in this world. So,
from Max Vogan says, Kevin, do you think aliens are from God, and are they friendly?
Well, first of all, everything is from God. God became the entire creation. You know, I was thinking of Glenda Green's book, Love Without End, and she asked our Lord a similar question. He had a very interesting answer to give her, and he said, "Our Father is so wise that he put the distance between the planets that he did to make sure there wasn't unfriendly first encounters that take place between worlds." Uh-huh. Although, you know, you might get someone that's less developed, but they build the technology and might invade us. This is a horror film we dream about, you know, in Hollywood. But our Father thought all of that out. So, I think if anything, when we finally do get first contact, I'm hoping it'll be friendly, but it may not. There's one kid's testimony I listened to. His name's Jeremy. Before he died at age 13, he met our Lord at age 10. He came back. And when he came back, he said, "It's not World War III we have to worry about. It's the alien invasion that our Earth is going to get hit with." And this is a deathbed testimony this kid is giving before he dies. Mm-hmm. So, and he met our Lord, too. And I thought, well, that's interesting to know. You know, this may not be covered in the Bible, but I don't dismiss what these people are saying that have these NDEs, especially the ones that meet our Lord. So mm-hmm. we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I've never heard that. I never heard that about having a space between worlds to make it a little harder to interface there. That was interesting. All right, here's a question. It says, is the modern internet the unsealing of the scrolls spoken of in the book of Revelation?
No. I think the internet is just a man-made tool that's going to unite all of us together. And if anything, you know, the prophecy that says when our Lord appears, he'll be seen all over the earth. I think the internet's going to play an important part of that when he returns with his church.
It seems to me the internet is one of humanity's biggest division tools out there. Everybody's in their camps posting articles about and quips and posts about the other person they don't like. I'm not seeing a lot of love going on there, Big K.
Yeah, that's true. But that's not the internet's fault. That's humanity's fault. That's where everyone's hearts are at, because each person has a different level of understanding, a different plane of experience. And until we can all get on the same level, we're going to be fighting each other. And I don't know how to make it stop either until our Lord returns. But at least the Bible tells us that when he returns, the brightness of his appearance will stop all of this when it all comes.
A wise sage said the other day that we don't have a race problem, we have a sin problem. Would you say there's any truth to that statement?
Yes. The sin, right now, the sin is incredible that's going on the planet. That's why I told you about the darkness mm-hmm. that's over this world is immense when you can step out of your body and see it.
Yeah.
And even the people that think they're not sinning, oh, yes, they are.
And a lot of that darkness comes right out of the internet.
Yeah, and then it gets comes out of the people and comes right onto the internet. The internet's just a neutral tool. Mm-hmm. It's neither good okay. nor evil.
Okay, I do understand what you're saying. Put Yahweh first, says Kevin. Did you ever see the Grim Reaper?
No.
I don't like it.
I think that's something man made up as far as that. You just leave your body. When you do leave, wherever you're going to go is fairly instantaneous. For the ones that are going to hell, it's instant. Mm. And for the ones that are going to heaven, it may be a slower transportation issue getting there. Some people talk about
there ain't no Grim Reaper.
Travel through the tunnel and stuff.
So that's what you're saying. There ain't no Grim Reaper?
Well, I've never seen him.
I was going to cold cock that son of a bitch if I ever caught him. All right. here's another question. Are children taken care of in heaven like kindergarten? Are there children
yes.
in heaven?
Yeah, no child is lost. No soul is lost. Even the ones that are lost in before childbirth. I remember Mary Baxter talking about this, and I said, yeah, that's correct. When she said that, I said, you know, God doesn't lose a single soul.
Hey, is a Mary Kay Baxter still out there?
I don't know. I've watched some of her stuff. I don't see anything wrong with what she's sharing. She's dead on the mark with pretty much everything I've heard her say. Mm-hmm. The problem is I realize that some of us that come back, we're adding knowledge to the Bible as well as confirming what's there. And it's when we add on that everybody gets kind of scared, you know, oh, no, you know, got to be careful of seducing spirits and all the rest of it. And I go, oh, give me a break. You think everything that God knows is in one book? And we were talking about an almighty God that created all the planets. You know, even the names of all the planets are not in the book, let alone the names of the species. That's why even our science, which has unveiled all that it has, You don't find that in the Bible, yet it exists. So there's an enormous amount of knowledge that exists that God knows, and you're not going to find it in the Bible. The Bible is here to serve one purpose, and that's to tell man's plight and why Jesus came to the earth to try to bring us home to him.
Mm-hmm. And of course, there are charlatans out there that would add to the Bible for their own personal reasons.
I do understand that. I do my very best not to do that.
And that's really why a lot of people have a sort of a standoffishness, rejection of anything they've not actually read. I can't really say that. I mean, the Bible's clear. I said, if, like you said earlier, if everything that was written down, the world could not contain the books. And then somebody also said, well, airplanes not in there either, and we have them. So you got these little back and forth snipes going on. But we do need to be careful when somebody tells us there's information out there that's not in the Bible, because there's some, and the devil is a great deceiver. You know, he's going to come to you as an angel of light, and he's going to say, hey, I've got some other information, and here it is. But I think, wouldn't that information, as far as a test go, lead you away ever so gently from Jesus, and rather than leading to Jesus, would that be a good check?
That's good. Yeah, I agree. I do nothing to take away from the true gospel of our Lord. And if anything, I got to meet him. You know, that's all I can tell people. Just know that as the Christ, the part that's between God and man, and that's the part that I got to see. He's not simple, gentle Jesus either, he's not like this or holier than thou, man. Mm-hmm. He's very down to earth when you meet him. He talks like us. He gets hurt. He laughs like us. And that's why we're made like we are, because this form he loves. Mm-hmm. He loves the human form.
One of these specific tests is what does it say? He that denieth that Jesus is the Christ is the Antichrist. And I haven't heard you in the last 2 hours deny that Jesus is the Christ.
No, he is the Christ. And he is the Son of God.
So hopefully...
go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say, I'm not saying everything you're saying is true, but it is your story. And I didn't go to heaven. I wasn't there to look and see if what you're saying is true. But there's nothing you said that, to me, personally has moved me away. I like to hear stories of people when they're convinced about the reality of heaven or of God's throne and how they describe it. But I've always said that no matter what we think it's going to be, it's going to be completely different. So
correct. The Bible, the problem with religion and the pastor, the pastors haven't died. They haven't seen what is talked about in the book. So until you die and you get to see it, I look at the Bible totally different from all the religions. I see it the way it was meant to be understood. But the problem is with all the, and I don't, fault the pastors or anything. They're doing a wonderful job working with their flocks and stuff. But all of you are going to be surprised at what you see when you pass through death. And what you'll find out is that you didn't really understand his book as well as you thought you did until you get to see it all.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kevin, these 2 hours went really, hour and a half went really quick with you. I know there's so much more to cover there too as well. Maybe we'll have to have you back on again. But before we start to fade off here, tell the folks about what they could expect to find in the Master Key of Unlocking and Mastering Chronic Diseases.
I told all my my two near-death experiences, because I know that when each of you buy and read the book, you're going to need to know where my source is coming from, both scientifically, and a good scientist also reports everything he sees, even if he dies. And I want you each to understand where I'm coming from as I draw on all the knowledge that our Lord has given me. That helped me to master the chronic disease process in my body, so that each of you have the chance to receive that knowledge and do the same for yourself. I basically tend to think that this knowledge is for those of you who have unfinished business. You don't want to die yet, or you may have cancer, if CFS, fibromyalgia, heart disease, whatever, and you want more time to spend here on the earth to do what you think you need to do for your loved ones or whatever the Lord has given you to do. That's kind of how I looked at the knowledge as I learned it going through it. But the problem is, this knowledge is kind of complex, and I knew that none of you would be able to figure this thing out. I see a way that we can build even more advanced technology to do the things that are talked about in the Master's Key, We're starting to move into the light sciences on this planet with the technology that's coming out. We're going to see a lot more of that coming, and my book will introduce you into the thinking that goes behind the light sciences. So when you do use your herbs, your diet, your alternative medicine, even Western medicine, you'll learn how to integrate them correctly to get real results that will get you your biological terrain well and help you to do what you want to do on the earth. Now, I can't go against old age. That's controlled by the DNA in the brain, I learned in death. But I can help you extend your life like I'm doing with mine. I'm age 63 and you don't see any gray hairs in my hair. That should tell you something about the knowledge that I possess, even though I'm getting some gray in the beard here. A lot of people my age, they all are white. You know, they got gray hair. Or there must be something I know that is doing that, that is keeping my hair from dying and turning gray and falling out further than it has. Mm-hmm. So make note of that and keep in mind that the knowledge you're going to receive in this book is going to do dramatic changes to your body if you'll pay the price and follow through on what it teaches you to do.
See, now I keep my mustache and beard white so it matches my hat.
Well, that's a wonderful hat. You know, I was thinking, is that a Stetson
hat? Of course, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I wasn't sure, you know, because there's different hats out there, but it looks great on you, man. Keep wearing it.
All right. Well, Kevin Montague, I appreciate you coming on the Edge broadcast. How'd you like the interview tonight?
I think it went very well. I didn't really get into the detail about what I saw in heaven or the second part of my death encounter, but I liked that you did what you did to ask me the questions I did, because I do know the answers. These are all questions I ask the light when I, you know, the light, I want Christians to understand what you call the Holy Spirit of God. Those of us who are NDEs, we call the light. Because that is what the Holy Spirit, the entire Spirit of God is, this ocean of light and consciousness that became everything. But none of you understand it because you don't see what's in the Bible. In fact, I would invite everyone to please go to my channel called Beyond Life, There Is the Light, and watch a one-hour video while I teach you the location of the universe through the Bible. And I'm going to show you things in the Bible that are going to astound you, that you didn't see or hiding there to help you understand. I'm telling you the truth. About the experience that I had. And thank you. Okay. I appreciate the time we've had together.
All right, Kevin F. Montague, Master Key of Unlocking and Mastering Chronic Diseases. Can we have you back on again sometime?
Anytime. Just give me a call. Okay. And I'll come back and we'll talk some more.
All right, Kevin. I appreciate you coming on the show tonight.
All right, Daniel. Thank you very much.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.